Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 292 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyler, your host once again. And today my guest is Zeb Anderson. And I'm so excited to have Zeb on the program today because Zeb is an attorney who also has, or as he likes to say, flies his computer geek nerd flag, which is, you know, near and dear to my heart. But he's got an application that runs on your smartphone, whether it's an Android or iPhone, and it's called LegalQ, L-E-G-A-L-Q. And it is an app that connects potential clients with attorneys to foster 15-minute conversations about, you know, any question that the person might have in your area of expertise and in your jurisdiction. And it puts those two parts of the equation together and hopefully business results as it was in terms of a follow-on to that conversation. It's a brilliant application, in my humble opinion. I'm very excited to talk about it because I really do think it addresses the trends that are occurring in the legal marketplace these days with respect to potential clients, as well as providing that access to justice that is so often denied to people who don't really know whether or not they have a problem that an attorney can solve. And so this, you know, addresses that point. So without any further delay, I've talked long enough. Let's chat with Zeb Anderson. Zeb Anderson, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey, thanks, Neil. Really great to be here and excited for the show.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here with us today, Zeb. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, thanks. So lifelong computer nerd, you know, I started
my kind of web apps. My kind of people.
It's a badge of honor. You know, it's funny, like there used to be the stigma around the nerd, right? Today it's kind of the cool thing, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
Proudly wave my nerd freak flag. Started in web apps and, you know, worked through undergrad with that. And after law school, I actually had a startup that was, I think around 2009. And, you know, this is 2 years after the iPhone. It was a location-based couponing app. And if you think about it, 2009, that's 2 years after the iPhone came out. So
right.
Everybody was like, why would I give you my location data? That's so creepy. You know, today it's like, here's my social, here's my firstborn kid. You
right.
know?
Right. Even though people still have some legitimate hesitancy about data privacy, the fact of the matter remains, there's so much out there that's being shared to your benefit, to our benefit, that we use every day without even thinking about it. So to be concerned, I think sometimes we're overly concerned. But listen, I don't want to bury the lead here because, you know, you said undergrad working web apps, you know, 2 years after the iPhone's introduced, so that we're still in the iPhone 2 at that point, yeah. Maybe 3 towards the latter part of that stage, but then you kind of threw in then after law school. So how does a guy who's doing web apps at the start of that technology, how do you get to law school and why the diversion?
Yeah, great question. So I undergrad was poli sci history because, you know, I didn't want to do calc 52 or whatever you have to right. do to, you know, get your CS degree, and I already knew the coding side. And I love conflict resolution. I love ways that people can come together through technology where, you know, hopefully it's a solve for, you know, people not hating each other at the end of a litigation, or, you know, people finding, you know, common ground through the use of technology. And I figured the, you know, skip and jump to law school is a good way to, is a good way to, you know, learn some of those conflict resolution skills and tactics. And yeah, I love the process. Don't tell the ABA, but I, you know, worked on the startup a little bit during the during the law school. I'm sure they don't listen to anything, but I'm kind of joking. But basically, yeah, during that time, you know, had a great experience with that. And then had a little exit with that startup. And to be honest, after law school, wanted to see what a startup looked like a little bit further down the road. And so went to big corporate company in Medtronic, had a big med device company, and started in compliance, did some Obamacare work with them, internal audit. And then my final role was basically helping to use data analytics to go direct in emerging markets. So a little story on that. My old manager at the time had a friend in Peru and called one day and said, hey, my mom needs this pacemaker, but they're saying it's, you know, $67,000 USD. Is that what you guys are charging for it? So we check on that model, and it's less than 10 grand for that model in Peru. But by the time it goes through two distributors in the hospital markup, it's, you know, several times thousands over that. So, you know, this kind of middleman problem is in every emerging market globally, and in the States in some ways too. But kind of got me thinking, you know, what other industries out there exist today that this kind of access to therapies for healthcare, or, you know, legal access to justice problems are out there. And that's kind of the inception of LegalQ from that.
Well, it's a fascinating kind of connection between those two things. If, like me, you were a computer nerd when you went to law school, and I thought that, you know, the only the intersection that one was going to be able to find between those two passions was IP law. And that didn't really appeal to me. And there wasn't a lot of folks talking about the intersection between technology and legal services. And of course, now that's changed, and it's a burgeoning and growing market. But you were literally right in the beginning with your thinking about how to solve some of the access to justice issues using technology. So you mentioned it briefly there. I know the product that you now have, LegalQ, is pretty robust and mature. Tell us a little bit about how that got started and what the problem was that LegalQ was attempting to solve.
Yeah, thanks. Basically, it's in just a little, you know, second overview, LegalQ is an app and platform that connects, you know, on-demand users to attorneys via text, voice, or video chat. And on the user side, it's a, you know, 2-minute process from, you know, access on the app to the attorneys themselves. And on the attorney side, you know, we looked for simple ways for finding potential future clients. You know, it's a really tough go at it on both sides of that marketplace. And, you know, this 2 years ago, started thinking that this might be an opportunity for the app itself and just the marketplace of what's out there today, to truly bring this to the marketplace and bring it to the masses in a way that, to your point, earlier, you know, people, when we chatted previous to this, you know, there's an expectation that from a user end, if you're, you know, main interaction throughout the day is with technology, you know, that's your expectation for all your activities, right? Whether it's, you know, ordering something on your phone, fantasy football, or, you know, anything that you can think of under the sun, your first, or for many people rather, their first instinct is to go directly to technology to solve for that. And in a lot of ways, legal, for many reasons that we can chat about, I think has kind of had a dearth in technology to enable those type of activities. So 2 years ago, started doing kind of the nights and weekend version of this, you know, had the full-time day job. And then we, you know, onboarded some other amazing team members to kind of help the products progress along the way. We had this program that we got into this summer called Techstars, which is an incubator for startups. And humbly, it's pretty hard to get in. So, you know, we feel pretty lucky on that. And that was the time I went full-time with LegalQ.
Well, I think it's a really interesting product. I spent a lot of time on the website looking at it and how you're positioned, just so we can dispel some of the fears that I think some of our listeners might be generating, is that this is not an app to take work away from attorneys or to make non-attorneys capable of providing, you know, legal services. This is almost like a matchmaker kind of application to bring potential clients together with attorneys who can service their needs in a way that's profitable, literally, for both.
You nailed it. Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. And you know, I am an attorney. I understand how hard it is to, you know, find that time to do the BD and do the client outreach, especially, you know, now that we're a lot more remote and, you know, everything was shut down during, you know, the pandemic. You know, that just puts that extra burden on attorneys looking for that. And we only take licensed attorneys in the jurisdictions that, you know, we operate in, and, you know, check to make sure your credentials are there. And after that, you know, you're on the platform, you know, with these consultations, and it's basically just removing any barriers to, you know, in the past, maybe you get a list of emails or a phone number or something. This is literally, you're on the website and you're signed in and you can get a request coming in, you know, a few times an hour, and, you know, you choose to take them when you want. And to your point, it just simplifies that process, but
yeah, I want to get without attorneys. I want to get into the mechanics of how this works here in a moment, but I just want to get kind of square the circle here. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, this past week, we're recording this in early November. This past week was the Clio Cloud Conference, and Clio's been well known for producing an annual report, the Legal Trends Report, where they draw upon their significant client base to discern trends in the legal marketplace. And for a while now, since pre-pandemic, and now certainly through the pandemic, there's been a very clear and distinct trend line amongst how potential legal clients are going about connecting with and choosing to retain legal counsel. And the fact of the matter is that more and more clients are doing so online. They expect to be able to vet you, to research you, to understand what you may offer as a solution, all from the comfort of their smartphone. And if you're not,
great point, Neil.
If you're not addressing that trend, you're falling behind. And I think LegalQ, the app that you developed, is a perfect example of recognizing that trend. In my humble opinion, you don't probably need me to to raise your flag, but I think it's really does address what the concerns are, because as we now get into the mechanics of how this works, the consumer gets the app. They get the app from the places that they get their apps on their phone from. And what do they do with it?
Yeah. And thank you for that kind words. Really appreciate that. Basically, the user can do iOS or Android based on their phone, and they download the app, and it's super, we made it insanely simple for the onboarding process, try to keep it as frictionless as possible.
Right. And
basically, they ask their legal question. You know, we give them some parameters on that, and you know, ask it within the context of this being a 15-minute consultation. And basically, they choose their legal category, which we then match to the attorneys that are on the platform, as well as jurisdiction. And then that consultation request is sent to the attorneys, which are on the web app. We did about 30 design thinking sessions with attorneys to realize that it can kind of suck to text out, you know, 6 paragraphs of legalese. So, you know, we gave them a web interface to type out questions and multiple monitors, et cetera. And, you know, if the attorney, receives that question coming in and they feel like they can, you know, give a good response and, you know, has a potential for them to be a client, then they accept that request and, you know, they're talking within a couple of minutes after that.
So the request comes in from the prospect. Hey, I got a question that I need answered. And they're limited to a 15-minute consultation. That pops up on the web app that is running on the attorney's desktop. And they make the connection. And then the conversation ensues. Now, is that, you know, video conferencing, or is that a phone call, or how does the conversation take place?
Yeah, and you nailed it. That's exactly it. We do text, voice, or video. User can choose which options.
Which is really important because people prefer email. Some people, younger potential clients, prefer text messaging. Some people like the old fashioned, I want to talk to somebody. So I think that's great that you did it. Yeah.
Yeah. In the data itself, it's really fascinating. The vast majority of them are, I'd say, probably 80%, 85%, maybe even text or voice chats. Only about 15% want to do the video conference possibility.
Yeah.
Just interesting detail in that.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by Center Stage and the Law Firm Marketing Minute, two great podcasts produced by Spotlight Branding. We're a legal marketing company providing content marketing for law firms that actually works. And we created these shows as a free resource to help lawyers like you learn more about marketing and business development. Every Monday, the Law Firm Marketing Minute arrives with a short 10-minute dose of marketing tips and inspiration to help you grow your firm. On Wednesdays, Center Stage arrives with perspective from other lawyers and legal industry experts to help you tackle marketing and other business development challenges. Check both of these shows out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and more. Both shows make great companions for the law entrepreneur, so subscribe today. Hope to see you there soon.
Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. So these initially, the 15-minute consultations, they're free to the user, correct? to the perspective.
Exactly. Free to the user. And, you know, that's on purpose. We actually went to market with a different model, you know, thinking that users would be willing to pay for an on-demand legal consultation, you know, with a licensed attorney. And what we found was that we would get them pretty far through the funnel and they would just all drop off at the paywall. And so, you know, we wanted to give attorneys kind of better alignment to what they actually want, which is a future, you know, client potentially. And best way to do that is by making that consultation free to, you know, show that initial value to that user. And if, you know, they like the attorney and they answer their question, you know, they have that potential as a future client.
Now, I'm guessing you're leaving it to the attorney to set up the boundaries with respect to providing legal advice, because you can't control that, right, from the platform. Yep. So it's like any other phone call, random phone call that you might get in the office. If the person asks a question that calls for you to offer a legal opinion, you're going to have to couch it in the proper terms to protect yourself from, you know, handing out legal advice unsolicited.
Got it. Yep. And that's, we definitely walk the attorneys through best practices on that.
Right.
We're not overly prescriptive on what that looks like, because it might be different for every attorney. So
it's impossible to do from the platform standpoint. I mean, and it's no different from any other, you know, situation that an attorney might find themselves in. So we can dispel with the worry about, you know, somehow we're violating the rules of professional conduct here, because it's the same conduct, the same, you know, limitations that you would have on any other conversation you would have.
Exactly right, Neil. And beyond that, it's, you know, it's up to the attorney to, do a brief, you know, conflict check if that's something that they're worried about. So, you know, we encourage them to do that as well. And, you know, maybe we add that technically somewhere down the road, but as of now, it's just a
simple way
to do it.
How then does the attorney, as we wrap up the 15-minute conversation, how then do they, you know, take the next step with the prospect?
So we email both sides with the consultation kind of summary, and it has the contact information in there. It's also in the app itself.
Okay.
And the I just spoke with one of the attorneys on our platform last week who, to be honest, is probably one of the better attorneys at getting, you know, these to turn into potential clients or actual clients. Mm-hmm. He said I talked to him last Friday, and he had, of the three consultations he had two consultations that turned into actually retained clients. And I asked him that question exactly, you know, what do you do during the call to ensure that you have that? And he said, I just throw in my number, you know, I say, you know, I'm available to talk or text if you want to keep chatting, or you can also schedule a future consultation, not consultation any longer, but future time through LegalQ if you want, but you also can take it off platform. And just, he does a great job of providing, you know, kind of assurance to the next steps.
Well, I think you mentioned the two points that I was hoping we would cover. So there is an opportunity within the platform then to book additional time beyond the 15-minute free call through the platform. And that's on a paid basis, right?
Yep. So if there's two ways to do that. One is after the 15-minute consultation. And by the way, we picked 15 minutes just because one of the concerns we've actually had from attorneys is that, you know, they're happy to take free consultations, you know, if somebody calls them on their office phone or what have you. But a lot of times those go, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes, an hour, and half their day is gone. This kind of puts in a time limit where both sides kind of know what to expect from that.
Yeah.
The attorneys can pause it, the timer at any time if they want, but also to your point, after the 15 minutes are up, the user has the option to keep paying for an additional 15 minutes. So if they want to just, you know, keep that conversation going directly there, they can do that. Otherwise, they can pay during the rescheduled time as well.
Yeah. And I think that's really key. You have to have that frictionless option so that they can either continue right where they're going and know what they're paying for, or go off platform and schedule a separate paid consultation, if you will, or, you know, initial meeting that hopefully will lead to being retained on a regular, you know, relationship.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's talk about it then from the attorney perspective too. So I have this app open where the consultation requests come in, and I have to respond to that. Well, can I turn that off? Can I turn it on? Do I have to be on it all day long, or do I have to, is there certain blocks of time, or how do I interact with that web app that gives me access to the platform?
Yeah, all of the above. You can turn it on or off anytime you want. We also, you know, if you just, you know, stay signed in, but close your computer, we can also, you know, send you an email or a text message when you have an ongoing or an upcoming consultation request in your, you know, jurisdiction and in legal category. So that way, if you're watching Netflix and you get a text and you want to, you know, pull up your computer to see if you want to grab that request or not, you can do that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Thanks.
Yeah. My premise was wrong. I don't have to have my computer open staring at it all day long. I can be out and about. And if there's a potential match, I can get a text message or an email message and respond to it directly.
Yep. You got it. And to be honest, that took a lot of engineering work on our back end here, but
I can tell.
Yeah. We finally got there with it. So it's in a good spot now.
That's great. So, I mean, in terms of usage, I can see, okay, I got a pretty busy day ahead of me, but I got an hour right after lunch where I'm open. I can check and see consultations and, you know, watch the platform from the web app during that hour, or, you know, I can turn it off and say, no, I'm busy for the next 2 hours. I don't even have time to respond to a text message, or I leave on a Wednesday afternoon to go play golf, but I want to be notified by text if a potential consultation shows up at my doorstep. All those scenarios are available to the attorney.
All of them are viable. Yep. And, you know, it's basically up to you to, you know, be on the platform when you want. And we just give that ultimate flexibility. To your point, you know, everybody's busy and have different requirements throughout their day of when they can do that or not. And we are actually working on a product update as well to just schedule that automatically based on your calendar. So if you can just integrate it into your...
So integration there, yeah.
Yep. But that's probably 2 sprints down, so about a month out for that capability. But today, just to your point, you turn it on and off whenever you want, and you know, you have a potential client waiting for you.
Well, I think it's just really a brilliant approach. I'm thrilled to be able to explore this a little bit with you. There is a cost to the attorney, and I'm just going to suggest that if people want to find out what that cost is, they go to your website, which you know, is easy to get to. It's LegalQ, LegalQ.io, correct?
You got it. Yeah.
Go there and you can see the pricing, and I'll leave that between you and the clients. I just want to circle back around before we sign off here and readdress this whole concept of access to justice, because, you know, one of the things that in the Legal Trends report, and you can see it in other analyses of the changing marketplace, is that many times potential clients don't even know they have an issue that can be solved by an attorney. And so they don't reach out to an attorney because they're not aware that that's something that an attorney can address, or that they should have an attorney to address that. So I can see the opportunity to take 15 minutes and just ask an attorney, is this something that your office can deal with, or is this something I should be hiring an attorney for? Is this something that I should use an attorney instead of doing it myself? I can see that is a tremendous gateway to those who might not otherwise have access to the legal market.
a very great point. And honestly, I think, you know, based on the numbers that you look at, I think 60% of Americans have some type of ongoing legal issue.
Yep.
Right. It's definitely, you know, to your point, it could be anything from, you know, I want to cut down my neighbor's tree overhanging my yard. You know, what are my rights for that?
Right.
To I got a Dewey last night. You know, what are my next steps? To my landlord wants to kick me out. To be honest, all of which have, or those categories at least have come through the app itself. So
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have.
To your point, it's a great way, if nothing else, to get, you know, more access to justice. This is something that we're very passionate about, and it's baked into our mission is to get 1 million people access to legal services by 2025 in all 50 states, by 50,000 attorneys. And, you know, we are.
I like those metrics.
Really encouraged by that.
So
thank you.
And thank you for reminding me that this is not just offered in, you know, where you live. It's jurisdictionally based, right? So I'm not going to get a question from somebody in California that I can't address.
Exactly. Yep. We're actually in 7 states right now, and we're adding a couple each month. So we hope to be in all 50 states soon. But
what is the hurdle that you have to get over to get, add states?
To be honest, a lot of it is just on the business side. You know, okay. You have to have kind of your dual-sided marketplace ready to go on both sides. And, you know, we have a pretty robust go-to-market strategy for, you know, acquiring these potential leads for attorneys. But then you also have to, you know, build that up on the attorney side in these jurisdictions to match.
So, for sure, there's a scalability issue there that you have to address, and you're working those things out. You say you hope to add a couple every month.
That's right. Yep. That's and there are a couple areas of law we're looking into that are, you know, more federally based that maybe aren't so jurisdictionally constrained, but
yeah,
we're still researching that.
Great. Well, listen, Seb. Tell our audience how they can reach out to you directly or to your team to inquire or figure out something that there may be an opportunity for.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Neil. You're a great host, and this is an awesome resource for all attorneys, and really appreciate it to be on here today. If you want to go to legalq.io, we have a contact form on there. Just feel free to reach out, and we'd love to have a chat with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Seb. And I really look forward to the growth of LegalQ. I think I get an opportunity to see a lot of different apps and services, and some really excite me. This one really excites me. So I wish you the best of luck with it.
That means a lot, Neil. Appreciate that coming from you. Thank you.
Take care. And thanks for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. Have a great day.
Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, and Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionist. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run, and I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.